Happy Easter. I want to welcome you to the Wiley Methodist Easter service. This is probably an Easter like none of us have ever experienced before, but I was telling the team earlier as we prayed in preparation for this service that nothing that's going on in our world changes the fact that Jesus is alive. So we celebrate that today. I want to start our service off with reading from God's holy word. After the Sabbath, at the dawn of the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary went to look at the tomb. There was a violent earthquake, for an angel of the Lord came down from heaven and, going to the tomb, rolled back the stone and sat on it. Wouldn't you like to have been there? His appearance was like lightning, and his clothes were white as snow. The guards were so afraid of him that they shook and became like dead men. The angel said to the women, "Do not be afraid, for I know that you are looking for Jesus who was crucified. He is not here. He has risen just as he said. Come and see the place where he lay. Then go quickly and tell his disciples he has risen from the dead and is going ahead of you into Galilee. There you will see him. Now I have told you." Let's pray. We thank you, Jesus, that you died for us. We thank you that the tomb could not hold you. And we thank you that because you live, we live also. I pray that you would be high and lifted up today, Jesus. I pray that we would celebrate all over the place in our homes and all over this country, people that are watching, that we would celebrate, Jesus, you are alive. And not only are you alive, but you love us and you have come and you dwell inside of us. You are with us. Come, Holy Spirit, be with us in this place. Be with it, every family, every person, in every home, as we lift high the name of Jesus. And it's in his name we pray. Amen.
Our Redeemer Lives, Church. Let's sing about that this morning. Let's celebrate that reality.
morning. We are excited to be here today, and so let's start out the day. So happy Easter! What a wonderful day that we are here celebrating that God loves us so much that he sent his son Jesus to die on the cross just for each one of us, for our sins. He gave his life for all of us.
This morning, we have eggs on the table. And underneath each basket is something to remind us that Jesus is alive. Palms. Jesus rode into Jerusalem on a donkey. The people threw palms and coats on the road. A heart. Jesus taught us to love one another. When we show love to others, we are showing them Jesus. A cup and bread. Jesus had a last meal with his disciples when he told them that he would die and rise again. And a crown of thorns. Jesus was arrested. The soldiers placed a crown of thorns on his head.
Then we have the cross. Jesus was nailed to the cross and he died on that cross for us because he loves us so much. Then we have the linen cloth. Jesus' body was taken off the cross, and he was wrapped in linen, and he was placed in a tomb, and a stone was rolled in front of that tomb. And then we have the stone. On Sunday morning, Mary went to the tomb, and the stone was rolled away. And then the last one. When they looked into the tomb, it was empty. Jesus was not there. He had risen and he lives today. And it says in John 11:25, it said, Jesus said, I am the resurrection and the life. Anyone who believes in me will live.
Jesus was part of God's big plan. Today and every day, we celebrate that Jesus is alive. He died, he rose, and he lives today.
Amen. Thank you. So we, this week I sent an email that described all of these eggs that we did today. And so we'd like for you to maybe make a set of eggs if you haven't made one. If you have, that's great. But take that set of eggs, and this set will help you tell the story of Jesus so that maybe you can tell your family, and maybe you can tell your friends, or at some point tell your friends. And so we want you to hide these eggs around your house, and then y'all have a hunt, and you go and find those eggs, and then you open the eggs, and you tell the story of Jesus and what he did for us, and to know that at the end the tomb was empty. He arose and he lives today.
Let's bow our heads in prayer. Heavenly Father, I thank you for this glorious day we call Easter, where we celebrate the resurrection of your son Jesus. Let us rejoice in you. Amen.
Jesus is alive. Amen. 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 The tomb is empty. Therefore, we can celebrate that we're no longer in our sins. We can celebrate by proclaiming the Apostles' Creed together. We can celebrate that with confidence because the tomb is empty. So let's recite the Apostles' Creed together. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. The third day he rose from the dead, he ascended into heaven, and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. I'm going to remind you that that word Catholic in that creed means universal. You know, there are several psalms that are special to me, and seemed like in certain seasons a particular psalm will speak to my heart. Some of my more favorite psalms are Psalm 1, Psalm 23, Psalm 51, Psalm 91, and Psalm 119. And one I've been dwelling on this week is Psalm 27. And in Psalm 27, there's this tension between David's struggles with what's going on in life plus his need to seek the Lord. And I don't know if you're familiar with David's story, but, you know, David was anointed as the king of Israel when he was a teenager, 14, 15-year-old perhaps. And for the next 16, 17 years, David lived a difficult life. You know, he killed Goliath, which was the champion of the Philistine army, so he was basically the most wanted man from a Philistine perspective. And then God's favor rested on David, and he was incredibly successful at what he did, and he was a threat to the leadership of Israel at that time. King Saul was the king, so King Saul wanted David killed. So David was a fugitive for a lot of years, and he spent a lot of time hiding out from Saul and his armies, hiding in caves. And here's some things that he points out in this psalm. He said people are plotting against him. People are looking to take his life. People were slandering him, sharing false testimony about him. A lot of things that weren't true. And looks like in this psalm, even his own parents deserted him. But then he said this at the end of that psalm, and this is something that really has touched my heart this week. He said, I would have despaired, which tells me he has a lot that he could be despaired about. He has a lot that he could be discouraged about. I believe the New King James there says that I would lose heart. David would lose heart unless, and this is what I want us to focus on this morning, church, I had believed that I would see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. So in the midst of what was going on in David's life, he had a choice to make. Either he could focus on the things that would bring him despair and discouragement, or he could focus on the goodness of the Lord. And you know, a lot of us are, well, all of us, are, our lives have been disrupted. You know, some of you are in your home with your children, your parents, something you hadn't planned on. But even in that situation, see, God can be good because all things work together for the good for those who love him and are called according to his purpose. Look for the good things in that. You know, some of you may have had your salary reduced or maybe eliminated for a period of time, but God's still good. And so for all of us, here's the challenge. This is the challenge for me, and it's been challenging this week to me to consider this, is to look for the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Quit focusing on the things that could bring me discouragement and despair. I've had to turn the news off because we can dwell on that so much. It's all negative. Most all of it's negative, 99% perhaps. And these things are actually happening. We can't just because we don't see the news doesn't mean they're not going to happen. But, I'm choosing to focus on the goodness of the Lord because I believe I'm going to see it. And that's the challenge for all of us today, I believe. So here's what I want you to do in your homes. I want you to wrap up your family. If parents, if you're there with your children, y'all just gather around on the couch, wherever you're seated. Gather up on the floor. Husbands, wives, men, you know, you start this. Reach over and grab your wife's hand. And let's all make a commitment this morning that we're going to look for the goodness of the Lord and what's going on today. If you're by yourself this morning, man, Jesus is there with you. You're not really by yourself. So reach out to him. Let him wrap you up. And let me pray for us this morning. God, we love you. And Lord, you are always good. There hasn't been a time in all of eternity that you have not been good, not even a nanosecond of time where you've ceased to be good. And Lord, David came to a point that he said, I'm not going to focus on what's going on. The most wanted man in the nation of Israel. But he made a decision. He's not going to focus on all the externals. He's going to focus on you. And he says at the end of that psalm, to be strong, let our heart take courage and wait on the Lord. And that's what David was doing. So Lord, help us to do that this morning. Lord, I pray that this is the most fruitful time for the church since the first century. Lord, I just pray, God, that somehow supernaturally the church rises to the occasion, Lord, and we display who Christ is in our daily lives, whether people see us or people don't see us. And Lord, I just pray that during this season, many, many are brought to Christ. As the church, Jesus exalts you. and lifts you high. I pray that many come to Christ during this season. Oh, Lord, we love you. We praise you for the empty tomb, which makes all of this relevant, makes all of this worthwhile. Jesus, not even the grave could hold you. You had authority over death. And Jesus, we love you. And we celebrate who you are this morning. And we pray the prayer that you taught your disciples to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen.
Even
Well, happy Easter again. I wish you were here, but we are connected through the Holy Spirit, so we are blessed that you are with us in spirit, and I'm going to grab my Bible. It's still me. I'm still here. Artists, we got to line up a laugh track, I guess, for next week. When you got, you know, like eight people in the room and none of them laugh, your jokes kind of go flat. I need my daughter Kirby here. She laughs at my jokes. All right, turn with me if you would to John chapter 20. Now, we're going to pick it up in John chapter 20, verse 19. Now, so setting the stage, Jesus has been resurrected. He has appeared to the women, and they have announced this to the disciples. And so we pick it up in verse 19. On the evening of that first day of the week, he's speaking of Sunday, the day that Jesus was resurrected, when the disciples were together, listen to this now, with the doors locked for fear of the Jews. Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." After he said this, he showed them his hands and his side. The disciples were overjoyed when they saw the Lord. Again, Jesus said, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, I am sending you." And with that, he breathed on them and said, "Receive the Holy Spirit." Verse 24. Now Thomas, called Didymus, one of the 12, was not with the disciples when Jesus came. So the other disciples told him, "We have seen the Lord." But he said to them, oh, good old doubting Thomas, "Unless I see the nail marks in his hands and put my finger where the nails were and put my hand into his side, I will not believe." A week later, his disciples were in the house again, and Thomas was with them. Though the doors were locked, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." Then he said to Thomas, "Put your finger here. See my hands. Reach out your hand and put it into my side. Stop doubting and believe." Thomas said to him, "My Lord and my God." Then Jesus told him, "Because you have seen me, you have believed. Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed." I love this. John writes, John was a witness to all this. These are his words. "Jesus did many other miraculous signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not recorded in this book. But these are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that by believing you may have life in his name. Let's pray. Come, Holy Spirit. I have sensed your presence here. I know that you are in every home that is listening. May you speak to us today in the only way you know to speak, and that's in power and authority. Change our hearts in Jesus' name. Amen. I want to take a little side note. I meant to say this a while ago. And at the end of the service, those of you who came by the church and received your communion cup, it's got the juice and the bread is on the top, covered with plastic. So it's all self-contained. It's a little tricky to get open. We're going to do communion at the end of the service, and I'll talk more about that in just a little bit. But you might scramble around right now and find your communion if you've come by and picked those up. And whenever we partake of communion, I would suggest that you be somewhere where you can open the cup, the juice, and be sure, because when you open it, it's easy to spill. And then set the cup down and then work on getting the cracker out of the top. So we'll talk more about that in just a few minutes. I love this story. A pastor friend of mine, a few years ago, I was meeting with him, and he was talking about this lady in his church that was pretty ornery. Fortunately, we don't have any ornery people at Wiley Methodist Church, but except the pastor. Other than that, everybody's nice. So he was talking about this lady, and nothing ever suited her. Nothing ever pleased her. And they were in a meeting one time, and she wanted something this way, and the committee was headed this way. And here's what she said. This cracks me up. She said, "Jesus would roll over in his grave if he was here and heard this." And the whole room, he said, we got quiet, and we just kind of looked at her like, "Jesus isn't in the grave." It just cracks me up, because she was so content on getting her way that she forgot the very foundation of our faith. Jesus is alive. He's not in the grave. I just love that story. It's kind of, poor lady, I have no idea if she's still living or where she is or anything. So, but today's message is entitled Thomas's First Easter. Thomas's first Easter. Now, Thomas gets a bad rap, in my opinion, because I think most of us would have probably said what Thomas said, like, "Oh, wait a minute, now come on, now you guys are kidding me, right?" And the other thing is, when Thomas finally saw Jesus and put his finger into his hand and his side, when he did that and he believed, not only did that transform Thomas, but Thomas went on to become this great man of the faith, and that's what Scripture and church history tells us. So Thomas kind of gets a bad rap, but I want to unpack this Scripture today of this moment that took place. The first thing I want us to look at, the risen Jesus comes to us where we are. And man, that's really good news. If we think about this passage we just read, The disciples were scared to death. I mean, the Romans have crucified their very own faith. The Jewish leaders had betrayed Jesus and got him to the Romans so that they would condemn him to death. So he's been killed. He's put in the tomb, and they're scared to death that they're coming for them next. And then they get this news that the tomb was empty. The women went to anoint the body that Sunday morning, and the tomb is empty. So they're locked in this room. Anybody relating to this yet? They're locked in this room with fear. Perhaps, these last few weeks, many of us have been in our home. Hopefully we have not been fearful. We've just been respectful of trying to control this virus. But if truth be known, this is uncharted territory for us. And none of us know when this is going to be over. We don't know how long we're going to need to stay in our room. We don't know if we're going to have enough toilet paper to last the week. I mean, serious things that we're dealing with. I joke, but yes, these are serious times. And so if I think for us to relate to this passage today, they found themselves locked in this room and Jesus came to them. Jesus was there. They didn't have to go out seeking him, running around, finding out where he was. He came to them. I love this passage. On the evening of the first day of the week, when the disciples were together, the doors locked for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood among them, and a week later he did the same thing. So don't think that you're alone. Even if you are living by yourself and you've been locked in the house more or less by yourself for these last several weeks, Jesus comes to you. He's with you. Secondly, the risen Jesus offers, and not only does he come, but he offers us peace. Three times in these 12 verses that I just read, three times Jesus, every time he appears to the disciples, that's the first thing he says is, peace be with you. And I love that because if you remember what the disciples have done, one of them betrayed Jesus, and he did his own thing, and he's not there. But the other 12, except for John, the other 12 denied and deserted and fled, and it's like they were nowhere to be found. Only John stayed at the cross through Jesus' final hours. But these, and I've said this before, but I think about Peter, this man who said, no matter what everybody else does, I'll stand with you. I'll die with you, Jesus. And Jesus says, no, you're going to deny that you even know me three times before the rooster crows. And so I know Peter, he hears, he's got this word that Jesus is risen, and I know his thought had to be, uh-oh. I mean, what is Jesus going to do to me? Because he looked me in the eye and he saw that I had denied him. But instead, Jesus greets all these disciples with those words, peace be with you. And so not only does Jesus come to us in the seclusion of our homes, but he brings peace with him. And he, the peace, the scripture tells us, his peace is not like tied to our circumstances. His peace transcends circumstances and it transcends understanding. I've talked with people that have said, I don't know why it is, but I just feel at peace. This is going to pass. I just know that's the peace that Jesus brings that transcends understanding. Thirdly, the risen Jesus, not only does he come to us and bring peace, but here it is, church, he gives us a mission. It's like we're not just consumers of this faith. He gives us a mission. Listen to this. As my Father has sent me, I'm sending you. Right away, the resurrected Jesus, immediately he begins to impart mission to the church. He told the women at the tomb when they were confronted with Jesus, he said, go tell my disciples that I've risen. The angel said, go and tell. So we understand that there is a response required. Jesus imparts mission to us, and he doesn't leave us alone. He says, as the Father has sent me, I'm sending you. And with that, he breathed on them and said, receive the Holy Spirit. So we don't go alone. We receive the Holy Spirit who goes before us and with us on this mission that God has given us. Throughout Scripture, and we see it in Matthew 28, that what we know is the Great Commission. Once again, Jesus said, go and make disciples. There it is again. Go. He's ascending forth. Go and make disciples in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Jesus, the risen Jesus, not only does he come to us where we are and give us peace, but he imparts mission to us. And then finally, the risen Jesus offers us life through faith in him. I want to read just a few verses from the end of our passage today. Thomas said, unless I see the nail marks in his hands and put my finger where the nails were, I will not believe. Jesus said to Thomas, put your finger here. See my hands. Reach out your hand and put it into my side. Stop doubting and believe. Now listen to this. So, and then Thomas proclaims, my Lord and my God. And Jesus says, because you have seen me, you have believed. Blessed are those who have not seen and yet believed. Now, here's where this life comes in. Jesus did many other miraculous signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not recorded in this book. But these are written, here it is, that you may believe, that's faith, that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that by believing, by faith, you may have life in his name. So, man, that I don't know about you, but that's good news, that Jesus comes to us, he offers us peace, he gives us mission, and he gives us life. This Easter Sunday, even though this is the strangest Easter Sunday that we have probably ever been a part of, I'm sitting here, 2, 5, 6, 7, there's 8 of us, 9, I guess, counting me. And it's odd, but I'm thinking about you right now. I'm thinking about you in your homes, hearing this, celebrating. Cheryl and I sit together on the couch and watch our service on Sunday with you, holding hands, worshiping together. Man, it's good. It's good to be loved by Jesus, and it's good to be loved by one another, isn't it? Blessed are those who have not seen and yet believed. Who's he talking about? Who's Jesus talking about? He's not just talking to Thomas. He's talking to you and me. We haven't physically seen the resurrected Jesus, but I know he lives. I know he lives because he lives inside of me. He's changed my heart. I want to offer to you, in just a moment, you're going to see a button come up on your screen. And it's not for those who've already accepted Christ. This is for people that want to accept Christ new. And you know, here's the interesting thing. I know people who've gone to church their whole life and don't know Jesus. It's possible. It's possible. I've said this before, and I'd attribute it to somebody else. I don't know who said it first, but sitting in a car in a garage doesn't make us a car. So going to church doesn't make us a Christian. Maybe, perhaps, for the very first time, the Holy Spirit is moving in your heart and say, "Man, I want to receive that. I want to receive the forgiveness and confess my sins and receive the forgiveness of Jesus Christ and let him be my Lord and Savior." If that's you this morning, I ask you to click on that button, and it'll also guide you to a form so we'll know how to get in touch with you and talk to you about that. Jesus said, by believing, we have life in his name. Through faith, by grace, through faith, we're saved. It's not by being a good person. So with that said, I want to lead into a time of Holy Communion this morning. This is odd as well, and I want to tell you, these little cups and the crackers that are in your possession, if you've come and picked those up, they have been prayed over and consecrated by me before we distributed those. And what Scripture tells us is that this is what we believe as Protestants, what we believe, that this does not physically become the body and blood of Jesus, but the presence of Christ is somehow with us through the partaking of this juice and this bread, that somehow, supernaturally, Jesus is with us. And so I invite you to take this cup, and I want to read to you a scripture. Now, the invitation is for those, and if you've picked one of these up, I know that you are a believer in Christ. The invitation is, if we repent of our sins and we accept Jesus as our Lord and Savior, then we are invited to participate in this Holy Communion. So I invite you to get those as I read this scripture. On the night the Lord Jesus was betrayed, now that's significant. On that very night, and he knew, remember, he had been telling the disciples what was going to happen, and he knew that what they were going to do. On that night, the Lord Jesus took the bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me." And in the same way, after supper, he took the cup, saying, "This is the cup of the new covenant in my blood. Do this whenever you drink it in remembrance of me." Somehow, Christ is present in this meal. "For whenever you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes." So we are participating in his death, his sacrificial death. So if you would just take the cup, go ahead and remove, and I'm going to partake with you in communion this morning. Take the cup, peel that top layer off, be careful not to spill it. I don't think Jesus had little plastic cups that night, but it'll work for us today. And you might want to set that down for just a moment and then work on the top plastic. For you men, you might need to have your wives help you with this. Mine's not here. This is the body of Christ. It's broken for you. And this is the blood of Christ shed for you. Pray with me. Father, we thank you that, first of all, that you died for us. You died for us because you love us and to give us hope and a future, to reconcile us to the Father. And you validated and authenticated that sacrifice by overcoming death itself. And because you live, we live also. And we are just grateful this day, this Easter Sunday. We are just grateful that you love us. And we praise your holy name. In Jesus' name, amen. In just a moment, we're going to close with a final hymn. I want to say a couple of things. I want to thank you, many of you that have remained faithful to us financially through this time. Our givings have remained good, and that's because of your faithfulness to us. And because of that, we are able to continue to do ministry. And so I just want to thank you for that. If you want to give today, there's a button that says givings, online givings there that you can click on, or you can go to our app or our website and do that as well. I also want to remind you, as this quarantine goes on, there could be more need coming. Like Billy said earlier, your hours may have been reduced, you may lose your job, you may need a run to the grocery store, some of you who can't do that, we're here. Just contact me, and I'll either do it or I'll get somebody else that can do it. And you can contact me at my email, jhatcher@wileymethodist.org. And so I just want to remind you that the church marches on. Jesus said the gates of hell will not prevail against it. So the church marches on because he lives. Well, how you like that segue, Billy?
That segue.
Happy Easter. Just remember, He has risen just as He said. Because of that, we have life in His name. Amen. God bless you. Have a great day.